I want to welcome all our listeners to this episode of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, and with me today is Mark Avery, both from Sim Trainer. We're glad to be back on the air. I know Mark was here last week, and I had to stay down at the range because we had an extremely busy week. It was a wonderful weekend. We ran three consecutive First Shots programs, and it was a busy day, but it was a great day for the shooting sports, and it was just a wonderful time.
We had a lot of fun here, too.
It was great.
Cindy was a great guest to have in the studio with us. She did a great job. It was a lot of fun.
It was, and we enjoyed the entire day, and we got a good show for you today. A number of things that we're going to talk about today, just to kind of give you a little preview. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the violence that's been happening around the Miami Valley and some of the ramifications for that, and we have some great Christmas specials that we're going to be running down at Sim Trainer, and I'm going to give you the full lowdown on those things as the show goes on today. I want to encourage all of our listeners to give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290. If you have any concerns, any questions, any comments you want to make about anything related to the shooting sports, firearms industry, some legislation, whatever's on your mind, please give us a call today, and we'll be more than glad to field those and get the information out over the airways. I want to start off with, while we were off the air for a few months, there was a big debate about what's been going on spearheaded by Mayor Bloomberg and some of his goons that have been traveling around the country trying to cast the dark cloud over the shooting sports industry. And it was just something I want to mention just very briefly, and I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail, but he sent people out to several of the gun shows with the purpose of trying to videotape illegal transactions occurring at the gun shows around the country. And although we all, you know, being in law enforcement, we all want people to abide by the rules and the laws that are already established, and Lord knows there are plenty of them already. We don't need any more gun laws. We certainly want to be vigilant in enforcing those laws, and we want to assist law enforcement in any efforts that we can. But I will tell you, as a law enforcement officer, there wasn't a whole lot of assistance given to law enforcement with the efforts of Mayor Bloomberg and his crew that he sent out there, because to my knowledge, they didn't actively turn much of that information over to law enforcement right away. Instead, they tried to make it kind of a self-serving story for themselves and to try to promote their agenda.
They'd much rather play gotcha than actually take care of anything that has anything to do with enforcing the law or even abiding by the law.
That's exactly right. And the one thing that I want to mention about that is, again, we certainly want people to abide by the law, and we think it's extremely important in the area of transactions and firearms. But I just want to share with you a recent study that was just published by the FBI on a selected number of incidents involving shootings of law enforcement officers, both fatal shootings and critical shootings, and along with a number of other important details that were gleaned from that study, they found that not a single case resulted in an individual obtaining a gun from a gun show. They were obtained otherwise through other illegal means rather than obtained at a gun show. So that was one area that they specifically referenced in their study, and I just want to pass that on to the listening audience, because there's a lot of negative publicity that's going on about that, those efforts of Mayor Bloomberg and some of his cronies. But that study's pretty definitive, and they made it very a specific point that not a single incident resulted in an individual, or there was not a single case where a bad guy obtained a gun through illegal means at a gun show. So it's not as prevalent as you might expect based on the information that's been put out on the internet. The other thing I wanted to mention, that there's been a pretty significant amount of violence. That this is typical around the holidays, just because of the way things are. And Mark has been looking at some things online, and he wanted to share with you.
Yeah, I saw just kind of caught some of the local news programs, television news, evening news, and noticed that nearly every day this week there was some sort of a violent encounter, a robbery, chases where people were. I mean, the police were chasing people that had committed some sort of a violent crime, either a robbery holdup with a firearm or some other things. And, you know, that every one of those stories that I heard, I thought, why was that person not able to defend themselves? Why were they not equipped and prepared to deal with a situation that you have to be living in a cave not to realize it goes on?
Well, one of the things that happens this time of year, especially, and you're probably well aware of this, many people are just running out to the stores in a frantic last-minute effort to get their Christmas gifts together, and they basically are operating in what we call a condition white, where they're basically oblivious to their surroundings.
Not paying any attention.
Yeah, we talk about condition white, yellow, orange, and red. Red being the most ready for confrontation, and white being totally oblivious. And many of them are just oblivious to it. And this is a time when you need to be particularly vigilant to the potential problems that come about. And I just want to mention two. You probably heard about the robbery at the Walmart down in Moraine a couple days ago, where a couple of individuals pulled up in a vehicle and robbed a lady of her purse and its possessions. Well, I want to tell you that we don't have all the facts yet, but just yesterday, a suspects matching similar description were involved in an incident at a Target up north. I believe it was in Trotwood or the Vandalia area. There was a subsequent law enforcement chase and pursuit, and they ultimately caught those individuals. So they're at least going to get their fair share of justice here in the next several months and hopefully several years. And it's good to get those kinds of people off the street. One other case I want to alert you to, there was a burglary, a series of burglaries in my jurisdiction in the city of Kettering, where an individual that we now know is probably responsible for multiple burglaries had broken into a couple of garages, stolen some items, tools, and mechanical equipment. And he made the mistake on the third burglary on a particular street of starting to pry the back window of a gun owner. And the gun owner went and retrieved his gun. And when the individual couldn't get in the back door, he tried to go around to the front door. And the homeowner opened his indoor walk door to his garage, stepped out into his garage, started to put the garage door up, and he confronted the suspect right there in the driveway with his gun, and the cowardice subject ran away. And our midnight crews, being ever so vigilant and trying to apprehend the subject, several hours later caught him, and now they're putting the case together. So there's an example where a law-abiding citizen took steps to protect his own home, and through his actions, it kind of in a roundabout way resulted in the apprehension of a bad guy who, by the way, is a known multiple offender in our community, been in and out of prison multiple times. So it's good to get him off the street. So what Mark has seen in the news is true. There are some positive outcomes, but I want to impress upon the listening audience to be ever vigilant this time of year, because those types of situations seem to pick up around the holidays.
Before we go into our first break, I want to do one thing, and that's something I wanted to do last week and didn't really get a chance to because we were so busy, but that's to thank our sponsors. Those of you who have been following the show for a while probably realize that we've got Vandalia Tactical on as one of the advertisers on our show, and they're a great place to go if you want some of the firearms and so forth that they carry. They do a great job. And Stephen Pearson, who's an attorney at law, provides a lot of he's a criminal defense attorney, but he also deals with quite a bit of the Second Amendment issues and is a great one. But we also have a new sponsor to the show, and we don't have the ad produced yet, but we want to make sure that people know about them because they're going to be doing a great job for us as well. That's Crossbreed Holsters. Crossbreed Holsters is a producer of holsters for carry, especially for concealed carry. They make several different models. They make them for most of the typical concealed carry firearms. And they also they make probably one of the most popular inside-the-waistband holsters called the Crossbreed Super Tuck. It's a holster that allows you to put it inside your waistband and then also tuck your shirt between the gun and your pants or whatever your outer garment is. So we'll be getting more information about them. You can find them at crossbreedholsters.com. We don't have a link up to them yet on our website, but we'll have that up by the end of the weekend as well. So we wanted to thank the folks at Crossbreed Holsters for sponsoring Shooting from the Hip. We have several callers. We have four callers on the line already. So as soon as we get back from our first break, we'll be talking to Jeff and Moraine and Andy and Xenia and Jerry and Dayton and Phil and Dayton, talking about questions from all sorts of things, from legislation and finding a handgun that's suitable for carry. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome our listeners back to Shooting from the Hip. Before I get to my callers, I just want to mention, as Mark said in the beginning, and I think he sent it out over the internet on our webpage, I'm in a given mood this Christmas season, and I've got a number of specials that I want to convey to our members and for anybody thinking about membership, especially for those that are thinking about membership. The first special we're going to be running between now and Christmas Day is we're going to offer a free basic handgun course and 1 month's free use of whatever gun you end up using in that class if you choose to join and start practicing. That's about $100 in value for each person that purchases either an individual, a family, or a lifetime membership. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about the different membership options we have available, but that special, again, is a free basic handgun class where it's going to give you a basic overview of the use of a handgun, talk about safety, talk about functional operation and accuracy, the fundamentals of shooting, and you'll come out of that 3 or 4 hour session being pretty darn good at whatever gun you ultimately settle on. The nice thing about that class, as Mark's found out many times, we let you try about 5 or 6 different guns till you find the one that's good for you, and then we teach you how to use it in a very efficient manner. But again, that's the first special that we're going to be running. I want to go ahead to my first caller. Who do we have, Mark?
Let's talk to Jeff in Moraine. Jeff, you have a question about House Bill 203. Jeff, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Want to say, too, I'm glad your guys are back on the air.
Hey, we're glad to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, and I would recommend SimTrainer to anybody. It's an excellent facility. I've been there. I took my concealed carry course.
Thank you for the compliment.
I was wanting to call and see if what do you think about House Bill 203, restaurant carry, and to kind of educate the listeners about it a little bit.
Okay. House Bill 203 is currently in the Ohio House. It's Ohio legislation. It was sponsored by Representatives Danny Bupp and Jared Martin as the authors of the bill, and then there are several co-sponsors to that bill. That bill would allow, as it's currently written, would allow concealed carry licensees to go into a restaurant or a bar that serves alcohol. As long as they're not consuming and are not intoxicated themselves, they would be able to go in without committing a crime. Currently, if you have a license to carry concealed handgun and you go into some place like Applebee's or any facility that serves alcohol for consumption on premises in open containers, then you've committed a felony. So this would change that and put it back to the way it really ought to be, which is that, you know, responsible people who have gone through the process to get a license to carry concealed handgun would be able to go in and have a meal with their family without having to disarm on the way in.
I want to add just a couple details to that. You look at the original intent of those types of prohibitions against people taking guns into liquor establishments. The basic intent there was to prevent intoxicated people from doing stupid things. Well, those misperceptions were based on misinformation, the belief that many people who carry guns are going to misbehave and be irresponsible. But I think that we found the evidence actually shows that they are very responsible people, and if they would just modify the law of the state that they cannot be consuming at the time that they're carrying their gun, they're just going in to have dinner, there should be no prohibition against them carrying a gun there or any other place for that matter when they're law-abiding citizens and they're not causing any trouble. We just want to make the legislation reasonable because it doesn't make sense that a person would have to secure the gun in their vehicle, go in, have dinner, and then come back out and then have to rearm themselves. It's a convenience thing. And also, many of those establishments are just as vulnerable to crime as any other type of establishment. And that's the whole purpose of people carrying concealed weapons, to be able to protect themselves out in public and in their homes.
We fully support this bill. And if everybody that's listening would contact your state legislators, both senators and representatives, let them know that you support it. Let them know that you would like this bill to get through committee and be passed. It has now had a sponsor hearing in committee, and there's still other testimony that's pending. There was supposed to be a hearing on the 15th, which was postponed. So let everybody, all your representatives, know that you support this bill and that you would like to see this change. Thanks very much for giving us a call. Let's talk to Andy and Xenia. Andy, are you on the air with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Let us know what your question is.
I was looking to purchase a handgun for my house, and I don't have a whole lot of money, and I noticed High Point in Ohio makes a CF380 for about $135. I just wanted to get your feeling about that particular gun. I mean, if you have any knowledge of that gun, if it would be something I'd use at the house.
Well, I'm just going to tell you point blank that that would not be a gun that I would even consider if the price was $35, quite frankly. And that's based on years and years of experience with the High Point weapon systems. Right from the beginning, a local distributor had offered to give us some High Points, and we decided manufacturer, actually, and we decided after doing testing that we wouldn't even carry them if they gave them to us free because of their performance. Now, I can't say that they're bad guns, but there are way better guns out there on the market. When you're looking at your initial expense, your reasonable range is between $450 and $600. It's a one-time investment, and it's not going to depreciate. So I want to encourage you to rethink that whole strategy. And basically, if you'd want to get with us personally, not only could we help you select it, we could make sure it's the right gun for you. You can either give us a call at 293-3914 or drop us a line on the website, and we'll be more than glad to set something up so you can come in and see us. But I think the better approach is to you to look at more reasonable selections. And I'll just throw three out there. The Glock 19, the Smith & Wesson M&P, and the Springfield XD are very superior guns. And, again, the price range is going to be between $475 and $550, somewhere in there. It's a one-time investment. It's a great investment. You take care of the gun, it's going to last you forever.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for giving us a call. Let's talk to Phil in Dayton. Phil, you have a comment?
I worked for the primary express for 7 years, and I've got a big ball. I just turned it off, sir.
Thanks.
But anyway, I trained those guys to not rush out into any situations. I'm not sure what happened up there last night. But I always sit back and I would watch the situation before I would just intervene, because sometimes it's too dangerous to do, and sometimes guards and police officers get killed with their own guns, and that's what happened to this young man last night. I just want to make a comment on it.
Well,
and also the Caltech 380, I wanted to get your opinion on that and comment on what I just said.
Let me first of all comment on the incident up in North Main Street. All the facts, at least, are not known to us. And, again, most of the information most people have is based on media accounts, which we know are only partially accurate. A couple things you mentioned that are totally true. We want to encourage people to be real careful about getting themselves in the middle of potentially violent situations. And I want to premise that by saying that you've got to have a certain mindset to even get into a situation where you're going to put yourself into it, period. We have many concealed carry permit holders who have gone and obtained a permit. We have many security guards and many law enforcement officers who carry a gun for a living, and quite frankly, they haven't mentally prepared themselves for the potential altercation. So we're going to come back after the break, and I want to talk about that a little bit more. All my listeners out there, remember, you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery with Jeff Pedro, and we're here for Shooting from the Hip. Give us a call at 457-1290 if you have a comment or a question about firearms and concealed carry or training, personal defense of various different types. We'd love to get you on the air and try to answer your questions and let you get your comments. You have joined us for the last show that we have before Christmas, and we've got some special offers for you that we'd like to let people know about, things that are going on down at Sim Trainer. Jeff, talk about some of the things that we've got going on for this Christmas season.
Well, as I mentioned, the first special we have going between now and Christmas is you get a free handgun, a basic handgun class, and free use of the gun that you choose for the first month of membership if you purchase an individual, family, or lifetime membership. In addition to that, we're going to offer another discount for every $100 in gift cards that you purchase. We're going to throw a $25 discount card on top of that, so that you'll be able to come in and you purchase $100 in gift cards, you're going to walk away with $125 in value. That gift card is good for $25 off any membership or training class or series of classes that you might choose to indulge in. Or what a great time of year if you're looking to get a gift for the shooting enthusiast and you couldn't quite figure it out, go ahead and get him the gift cards, and it's going to increase your value and it's going to increase his opportunities at Sim Trainer. It's a great opportunity for him.
It's a really super deal.
Yeah. I want to continue where I left off before the break, talking a little bit about mental mindset and preparation for confrontation. These are tough topics and tough times, but I just want to emphasize to our listening audience that we don't want the unfortunate death of this individual to be in vain. And for private citizens, private security officers, law enforcement officers, I think you need to be ever vigilant of what it takes to get yourself into a situation where you can intervene in a potentially violent situation. Mentally, you have to have prepared yourself for that type of scenario well before it actually occurs. This has been ongoing, and one of the biggest problems we have in training, whether it's private citizens, security officers, military personnel, law enforcement personnel, is getting them to understand the significance of mental preparation. You have to prepare yourself for combat. You are a warrior. You're the front line. You're, by the nature of the job you've taken, you put yourself in a greater chance of those types of things occurring. So therefore, you've got to go to greater lengths to prepare yourself mentally, physically, and as far as using all your tools, you got to prepare yourself because the likelihood of those types of things occurring are greater. Now, again, we don't know the circumstances of this particular incident. It'll probably be weeks or months before we totally know exactly what occurred, but it's not going to stop. Violent confrontation has been going on. We opened the show talking about situations that were happening to citizens throughout the Miami Valley. Law enforcement officers, just in the last month or so, there were four officers out in Washington that were slain by a crazed gunman while they were having a briefing at a local shop, and it continues at high rates. So I want to encourage you to really start thinking about this mental preparation issue.
There was one other question that he had about the Kel-Tec 380, and actually the Kel-Tec 380 was one of the most popular 380s that was being, in terms of number of guns sold, until about the statistics come through about the middle of last year on the sales for those different kinds of guns, and the Kel-Tec 380 was one of the most popular 380s being sold. So there's a lot of people that have them, and a lot of people are very happy with them. Let's go to John in Dayton. John, you have a question about private security classes.
Sir, what I was curious about is an organization I work for, they don't have too many armed officers, but the opportunity is there to advance in it if I were to get the private security officer's gun certification. I was wondering if you folks handled those trainings or not.
Yes, we do. The unfortunate reality is many of the companies don't want to pay to have the training done, and they make it fall back on the individuals. Many of those individuals looking for employment don't have the money. I will tell you that if you're interested in getting the training, you come to us, you're going to get the best training that you can get anywhere in the area. And the reason for that is we put great pride in the fact that we emphasize the responsibility of carrying a gun, potentially using a gun to defend yourself or other individuals. And we're going to take you to a level of proficiency, not just qualification. It's one thing to be able to take 60 rounds and pass a qualification course with a minimum score of 80%. It's another thing to leave the training that you've had and feel comfortable that if you had to use that gun in a real-life situation, that you could do it accurately and deal with the implications and ramifications of doing that. And that's where we emphasize our protocols. So if you're interested in that, I'm going to encourage you to send us an email. We'll just continue to put your name on a list until we get the minimum number. Then we offer the course because I'm required by state law to submit paperwork to the Ohio Peace Officers Training Academy in order to open those classes. And I have to have minimum numbers in order to do that, and I have to give them at least 30 days lead notice. So if you send that information to us at the website at sim-trainer.com, we'll be more than glad to get you on the list and see if we can get you scheduled for a class.
About how often do you guys usually have training classes like that during the year? I mean, I know there are a few other places around that offer the training, but in the same situation, it all depends on how many people they have signed up before they can actually open the courses.
Right, anywhere from 1 to 4 times, and it strictly comes down to the numbers. And right now we've had lots of inquiries going into the beginning of the year, people being out of work, they're finding work in security. So I got a feeling we'll probably be running one in the early spring, maybe late winter, just depending on volume, sir. That's the best I can tell you at this point.
All right. I appreciate the information, and maybe I can get myself legal through the state, even though the military trained me about 22 years ago.
Okay, well, good luck at that.
All right, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for giving us a call. Let's talk to Carl in Beaver Creek. Carl, you have a question that came up a little bit last week as well in terms of shot size for shotgun.
Yeah, I'm interested as far as home defense purposes. What's an appropriate shot size that's effective?
Well, I want to just first of all comment on some of the issues that were raised about using a shotgun. A shotgun is a great weapon for personal defense as long as you are experienced in using it and you can handle the shotgun. As far as shot size, basically any of the common shot above birdshot is going to be sufficient for self-defense. The number 7 shot, the number 9 shot, those are all common loads and typical shotgun rounds, and those are going to be sufficient. And one of the biggest issues that you need to focus on is stopping the immediate threat, not worrying about the secondary damage it might cause to property or someone down the road. Because remember, in your own home, you've got to worry about yourself first. And certainly collateral damage, the other damage is an issue, but I want you to focus on being able to defend yourself first. No matter what type of projectile that you would be shooting from a gun, whether it's a shotgun, a rifle, or a pistol, there is the potential that that round could leave your residence and go to another residence and do some damage, and we need to be mindful of that. But I want to encourage people to focus first of all on stopping the threat, and in order to do that, you need to get competent with every weapon system you ultimately choose to utilize.
Okay, so number sixes would work real well.
They're fine. It would be sufficient. I don't think there's ballistics that will tell you six is better than nine, which is better than seven, or not as good as that. But any of the typical shot that is available through the shotgun ammo line is going to be sufficient, besides the birdshot. I mean, the birdshot has the potential to incapacitate, but it also has the potential that's going to bounce off heavy clothing, especially this time of year.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling. We've got an anonymous caller who had a gun application, a license application rejected. And what's your question?
Yeah, I feel somewhat reluctant to even ask this, but they say there's no such thing as a dumb question. Yeah, about 30 years ago, I got involved in a domestic quarrel situation with a woman. We were planning to get married, and I canceled the wedding, and the judge said I gave her an opening, and she charged me with this crime. I thought I was innocent, but my lawyer said if you put the county through a jury trial and all that, it'll be terrible. And so they talked me into accepting the felony charge of extortion. They said no problem, it'll be expunged 3 years, which it has been. But when I took my training and then applied for my permit, they said that the state is allowing local sheriffs to go into your record. They said only the FBI would ever know this, that I had this charge. But when I applied for my license to carry, the sheriff said, no, you have a felony, and even though it was 30 years ago, you can't get a license. But, and my question is, can you appeal that decision?
You said that the charge had been expunged, or the conviction, the plea had been expunged?
Yes.
Well, see, the Ohio law now allows for expunged offenses to not be counted against you when you apply for a license to carry a concealed handgun. So was this before 2008? I think it was September of 2008 that went into effect.
Yeah, it was before then.
Okay, so I would suggest that you go ahead and reapply. The appeal, you only have 20 days to appeal, so if it's been before that, then you wouldn't be able to appeal and go back. But if the charge has been expunged, then you should be able to reapply, and then expunged offenses would no longer count. They did when Ohio first started issuing licenses to carry a concealed handgun. The sheriffs were required. I mean, it wasn't that they could, but they were required to include expunged offenses in the evaluation process to determine whether or not you were eligible. But now that has changed, that's no longer the case.
Oh, great.
So
news.
I would recommend that you go back and reapply.
Well, sir, when was the last time you had the training? When did you have the training class?
Oh, I would say 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay, it's we got to go into a break now, our last break for the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to this episode of Shooting from the Hip. And real quickly, I want to review some of the Christmas specials that we're generously giving away this week. First of all, I want to mention that you're going to get a free basic handgun class and use of a gun that you use in the class for one full month for anybody that purchases an individual, family, or lifetime membership. That's the first offer. Second offer is you're going to get a $25 discount card, good for $25 off any membership or course registration fee for each $100 in gift cards that you purchase. Great gift for shooting enthusiasts. And one last one that we have very limited supply. I want to let you know that I have several guns that we're liquidating at the end of the year, several pistols, but one special that I'm going to offer to one very special person.
This is a great deal.
This is a great deal. DPMS Sportacle 223 rifle with an EOTech holographic sight for $1,099 to the first person that comes down tomorrow. That's Sunday, the 20th of December between 1 and 5 and sees me about it, they're going to walk away with a great Christmas present for themselves or somebody else. That's about anywhere from a $13.99 to $15.99 value. It's going to be a great Christmas gift. It comes with a hard side case, and it'd be a great opportunity for somebody to make somebody happy Christmas time.
Hey, let's go back to the phones. Jim, you have a question about concealed carry.
I've got my permit. I've had it since day one. And what I did the other day, I was out shooting. I shoot on private property so I can set up different scenarios. And I carry a different holstering. I carry a waistband holster, ankle holster, different things. So my question is, when I left the range, I didn't realize I had left the ankle holster with the pistol in it. So I got to thinking on the way home, is there any restriction on the number of concealed weapons you can carry at any one time?
No, there's not. Not according to Ohio law, there's not. I mean, it's just a matter of what's practical and comfortable and what you can use effectively. There was initially in the last update to the law, there was a proposal to have a limit of one gun and one gun only, but that didn't get through.
Let me add one thing to that. I'm glad to hear that you're out training, but I want to caution you about one thing. The brain works in a funny way or in funny ways, and remember that when you're doing drawing from different locations, you're conditioning your body and your mind to draw that weapon and access that weapon and then present that weapon from those locations, and under stress, your brain may not be able to pick and choose the different locations on your body. So my advice to you would primarily be have one weapon and then have a backup weapon somewhere easily accessible. Train with that, but understand that the primary is the one you need to do most of your training with.
The other thing is that when you finish your training or you finish your practice, the last thing you should do is shoot your primary carry weapon, do a few magazine exchanges, and make sure that that is the last thing that you did before you leave the training, so that if you need to use it, it's the first thing that you would do again. Hey,
I agree. I do carry basically in a inside the waistband holster, and I used to be a police officer, and I got used to carrying a backup weapon, and that's why I practice with it. Not that I wouldn't go to that first in any case.
Right.
There's no problem with that legally in Ohio.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the info.
Hey, thanks very much for giving us a call. Let's talk to Don in Richmond, Indiana. Don, you got a question for us.
Yes, being an Indiana resident, there's times that we have to go into Ohio. I know Ohio does not identify with Indiana.
Yeah, we don't have reciprocity with Indiana, and unfortunately we don't offer a license that there's no out-of-state or non-resident license available in Ohio. However, what you can do is you can get another license from another state that does have reciprocity with Ohio. The two most popular are probably Florida and Utah, and they do offer non-resident licenses, and Ohio will recognize a non-resident license from a state that we have reciprocity with. So that's a way that folks in Indiana and also Pennsylvania and some of the other states that we don't have reciprocity with can get a license and carry in Ohio. Thanks very much for calling the show. We are almost out of time, and there's one thing that I want to do before we get completely out, and that is to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Our listeners especially, and our customers, and the members at SimTrainer, and the staff that puts in so much time to make the shooting sports possible. You know, this is a time of season. We've talked about several of the specials that we've got going on in gifts, but shooting and gifts, that's not really the reason for the season. We are really focused on what the real reason is, and that is the fact that we have an opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. That is something that's made a big change in my life, and I know that it's impacted Jeff's life. And in fact, a lot of the people that shoot at our range are also in that same mode. They've all been impacted, and their lives have been changed by knowing Jesus Christ and the birth that we celebrate at this season.
I just want to encourage our listeners to kind of reflect on the accomplishments of the past, be mindful of those who are less fortunate during this time of the year, and extend your thoughts and prayers to them, particularly our soldiers overseas. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers, because they're doing a tremendous service to advance the freedoms that we share and support the freedoms, our Second Amendment freedoms, and all the rights and things that we have. It's a great time of year to spend with family and to reflect on those things, and that's what we're all about at SimTrainer. We want to pass that on to our listeners.
So I want to wish a very Merry Christmas to everybody that's listening, and I especially want to invite you to come back the day after Christmas when we'll be back on the air for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.